I'm Marcus Smith, and this is Constant Wonder. Join us as we quest for the awe and wonder of knowing we are part of something infinitely larger than ourselves. Your host for this episode is Tenery Taylor.
They see the machine, and if they're older, they're like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen one in years. I wrote my college term papers on that. What are these people doing with those typewriters? Or they're like little kids, and the kids have never seen a typewriter, and they come over and they want to know how it works, and we explain that it's like a little printing press.
Kathleen Rooney is a typewriter poet, which means that she and her fellow typewriter poets set up in public spaces like street fairs. Yes, maybe right next to the funnel cake. Or tucked in unexpectedly between the stacks in a library. And there they hammer out poems on demand. Her organization is called, in fact, Poems While You Wait. And just for this episode, I want you to forget everything you had to learn about poets in school. These typewriter poets are no Emily Dickinsons, stashing their poems away from public view or revising endlessly. Nope, they're much more like street musicians, busking with words instead of music. When Kathleen got into this 15 years ago, her fellow co-founder Dave Landsberger had his own take on what they were up to.
He made this really helpful comparison to jazz. You know, if you go to a jazz club or show and you hear the jazz musician improvise on the piano or, you know, whatever it is, it's still a song, but it's just a different kind of song. And he, in his pithy way, said that writing a poem while you wait is like playing the word saxophone. We did our very first one with a typewriter that Dave found on a dumpster, a Royal Quiet Deluxe, and we did it at this street festival. And it was amazing, and we loved it so much that we knew we wanted to keep doing it.
People sauntering by these street poets with their typewriters are often curious, but understandably a little bit guarded, maybe thinking poetry couldn't possibly be for them. Or, if they're interested, thinking they need to come up with a grand idea for their poem. Kathleen and her team quickly put their minds at ease.
We're like, any topic? And they're like, no. And they think it has to be something like a season or like a big abstract emotion. And we're like, no, you can get a poem about a burrito, right? We can write you a poem about Chipotle if that's what you want.
By day, Kathleen Rooney is a professor of creative writing at DePaul University in Chicago. She's published novels, memoirs, and of course, poetry. She's the founder of Rose Metal Press, a nonprofit that receives the proceeds from Poems While You Wait. Her group charges $10 per poem. You might think that hanging out a shingle on a street corner to write poetry on the spot, well, that wouldn't be too scary for somebody already so well-versed in verse. But Kathleen does have her misgivings and jitters.
Part of why we like to do typewriter poetry is that it is a little bit scary. It's a challenge. I think most of us who are part of Poems While You Wait are poets in our private lives. But I do think the low-key intensity of poems on demand for a stranger, often about topics you would never, ever in a million years write about, is part of what makes it worthwhile. It takes that loneliness and isolation, which sometimes is solitude and it's fun, but being a writer, being alone in your little room, and makes it public and makes your audience right there in front of you. The street is where really interesting stuff comes from, street fashion and street culture and people running into each other. And so I think the fundamental thing that makes Poems While You Wait work is you have to put yourself out where other people are. And part of our mission is to provide the public with an unexpected, unpretentious encounter with poetry. And so I think that's it. It's our sneak attack. It's our surprise element. And the fact that it's totally unpretentious that makes it magical.
Just to give you a flavor of the kind of verse Kathleen comes up with for her "while you wait" customers, here she is reading an ode to summer.
Summer's at the pool. Aquamarine, you know what I mean? Grab your unicorn floaty and your sunscreen. Bring your goldfish cracker snacks and let's smack some cannonballs into those cool blue lanes.
Kathleen works with a group of around 40 poets, and they rotate manning the typewriters at what are nearly weekly gigs, especially in the summer. She likes to think of her fellow poets as teammates, like on a sports team, and her bookings feel to her like game day. But I interviewed another typewriter poet who works solo. The world of Alison Fergakis is infused with language and sound. She writes and records songs. You can find her on Spotify. And she leads writing circles and workshops and takes commissions for what she calls heirloom poems. Her inspiration to do typewriter poetry in this impromptu, very public, ninja-style way came to her out of the blue. Have you ever made a vision board? It's where you tear out pictures from magazines and make a kind of collage about what inspires you and what goals you'd like to achieve. Alison likes to make a new one at least once a year. And nearly a decade ago,
I found typewriters on my vision board. I just kept layering them on. I kept finding them in this one magazine. I'm like, oh my God. So when that's on the board, it's sort of obvious, like that's something, it could be symbolic, but to me it was like, I need to follow up on this desire I have.
Not quite sure where she was going with this. She found a working typewriter on eBay, and she remembered she'd heard about typewriter poetry on demand. She thought she'd try it. That would require a venue, of course.
I had the idea to do it at the farmer's market. So I called the farmer's market staff. They said you had to write a letter, so I wrote a letter. And I said, if they say yes, I'm going to do it. I can't not do it if I get that far. So that was my first step in the water. Mm-hmm. And then they did call, and it was my birthday that they called, which is always a good omen. So like to me, I was like, it's my birthday. I have to say yes. And he goes, okay, can you do it in 2 weeks? And I said, yes. So then I was like, all right, okay, gonna make a little sign.
2 weeks later, she thought she was all ready to go. It was her first day at the San Rafael Farmers Market in Northern California.
I got out of the car. I didn't actually have a table. I had a heavy typewriter with a case. I had a poster board that was big and awkward that I'd handwritten free typewriter poems for you. And I had pads of paper and pens and ripped book pages. And I had a big basket that was holding that and then probably my purse. It was just very awkward. There was, like, it was heavy, I remember. And I looked funny while I was walking to the market. And then later on, actually, after I figured out that the farmer's market was not going to provide me with a table that I had to bring my own, then it became even more awkward and I had to figure out a system. But anyway, this first time, I'm like got the poster board under my arm and my basket of stuff and then the typewriter and I'm just kind of hobbling through. Two women saw me and they were like, oh, can we help you? And I said, sure. And they looked at the poster and like, oh, we love this. How wonderful. This is great. And so they walked me to a spot and I found the tables where people were eating and I just pulled a chair and table and set up there. And I said, oh, would you like to be my first customers? And they were like, no, we just wanted to help you. And I thought, okay, all right. Okay, thanks. I thought, okay, like they're just angels right now. Thank you for assisting and I'll just wait. And then this young guy came over and he was like bouncing. He'd heard about people that do this. And I was like, you're my first one. Thank you for being the first guy here. He was so excited. I didn't take pictures back then because it was my first one. I was kind of shell-shocked, but I wish I did. I want to thank him now. I don't know who he is. I think I've done hundreds and hundreds of these now. his enthusiasm for it was just like the grease I needed to be like, okay, I'm not crazy. He was like my little guardian angel champion. And then from that moment on, I just relaxed.
Also helping her to relax was the simple fact that she gives her poems away.
The thing is, it was free. So if it's free, there's no pressure. That was one way I took the inner critic out of it. And I was like, if it's bad, if they're not good poems, if they're just basic, what's not to love?
Of course, whether you're giving your poems away or charging only $10, a poet on demand can't just expect clients who will be guardian angel champions with the enthusiasm of Tigger, like the fellow Allison was lucky enough to meet on her first foray into this highly unconventional, whimsical world. I asked poet Kathleen Rooney about the possible naysayers who may well pass by. Have you ever had a cynic or a skeptic bump into your booth and think, not just that you can't write a poem on anything, including a burrito, but like, this is not for me. I'm not interested in this. And you've had maybe a little conversion experience where they kind of thought, huh,
yeah,
it is for me.
Yeah, no, we definitely have. And I think usually, you know, not always, but a lot of times it's dudes, it's men who think they don't need a poem, especially nowadays, like, oh, I could just get AI to do it. And so that breaks our heart, but we get it. And so, yeah, we've gotten people to convert. I feel like in those situations, it's guys who are convinced to get a poem for their wife or their girlfriend. Like the Chicago Maritime Museum is a place that this has happened more than once. You know, and I think it works because these are guys who are passionate about something. They're not disinterested. They're there because they love boats and like nautical themes and history. So, you know, I think if you've got someone who's just interested in anything, like starting a cold sale from someone who's passionate about something is much easier than someone who's just totally meh about everything.
Key here is tapping into a customer or client's passion. But how to do that with a stranger? Both Kathleen and Allison describe typewriter poetry as a collaboration between the poet and the customer. Here's Kathleen.
People come up to us and give us their name, give us a topic.
So they're just giving you like one word for the topic.
One or several. We say, you know, sometimes less is more, and sometimes people truly do just give us summer or the moon or the name of someone or their pet. But other times, people trust us with a lot of information. So we always say, it can be funny, it can be sad, it can be silly, it can be serious. And so sometimes people almost get to the point where on our little sign-up sheet, they start to practically write the poem for us. They just flow out with so much information.
There are all kinds of poets who follow all kinds of different muses. For her part, here's how Allison Fergakis likes to get started.
I have this little sheet of paper I rip out of any book, a random book, and I say, circle some words that you like. That's how I kind of start it. And then I ask questions. What's your perfect day? What makes your heart sing? So all these questions are like lubricants for their heart, and it's contagious. It like enters the air, and I can feel it with my heart, their joy. And then I use some of the words that they've circled, and I just close my eyes, and sometimes I like literally reach my hands up with my eyes closed and just ask for the right poem for this person.
You say you lift up your hands and you ask for help, or you ask to get this person's poem. Who are you asking?
Well, like it's something bigger than me. You know, people would say God, the universe, spirit. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's just something bigger than me that is it's a good force. It's a loving force. I can just know how to be a vessel. I do a lot of preparation before going to be a clear vessel, meditation before, and then when I'm in it, I'm like, it's like game on, and people coming and coming. And sometimes there's lulls, but it's a lot of energy to do this. I don't know why. Like, I remember the first day I did it, I came home and I like had to just lay down. And I don't know if it was adrenaline. I was like, okay, I need to expand my capacity.
Over the past decade or so, Allison has written hundreds of typewriter poems, as she said. We decided we wanted to experience poetry on demand for ourselves. Why not? So in my conversation with Allison Fragakis, I asked her if she'd write a poem for one of our Constant Wonder assistant producers, Lydia McElroy. The instrument she chose for this was a beautiful black antique typewriter, the kind with perfectly round buttons that are often replicated today in handmade jewelry on Etsy. Lydia and I wished we could touch it across the ether of our internet call.
Get my typewriter. Whoa, this is the typewriter. Oh, it's called the Remington Portable. This one is from 1929. Amazing, wow. Right? It's almost 100 years old. And it even smells like it. It just has that, like, vintage smell.
That is so neat.
Lydia circled words on a random page from a novel, just like Allison has already described for us. And then Allison started asking questions.
Do you ride a bike?
I do, yeah.
Tell me about your bike.
I got my bike at a thrift store because I thought it looked like something that, like, if a tiny mouse rode a bike or, like, a woodland creature rode a bike, this would be the bike that I rode. It's mint green with a pastel yellow basket with some, like, ribbon in it. And it's got a little, I don't know what it's called, like a little...
Lydia told Allison about how she's a better baker than a cook, about playing the fiddle and quilting, about her grandmother Louisa, her own love of bird watching and people watching.
I think people watching helps me feel more connected to other people, that even if I don't know their name or where they're from or their story or anything like that, that I can still recognize them as, you know, we're all a part of the same story and a part of the same, you know, eternal song.
You speak in poetry.
So I won't hide here that Lydia was a great candidate to be my guinea pig for this because, as I've observed in working with her over the last couple of years, Lydia lives and breathes Constant Wonder. Anyway, Allison finished taking whatever notes she felt she needed, and then she closed her eyes and lifted up her hands and held them that way for a few seconds. And then she got to work.
Okay. Are you ready, Lydia? This is for you. A poem for Lydia. Fiddling and stitching, taking tea towels and old jeans, little bits of Louisa wrapped around her, stargazing into people's hearts, Lydia's song plays on and on, knowing she is a part of the beautiful story. And there's your poem.
That is so beautiful.
Assistant producer Lydia McElroy there, receiving an on-demand typewriter poem from poet Allison Fragakis. We're also hearing in this episode from poet and author Kathleen Rooney from Poems While You Wait. In just a moment, we'll hear about how these verses written in a flash can make a long-lasting impact on the poets who create them. This is Constant Wonder. I'm Tenery Taylor.
I want to take a moment and recommend another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts, The Lisa Show.
with life's great onslaught, everything that can overwhelm us and add stress to our life, Lisa Valentine Clark, her guests, and Council of Moms provide a practical, positive outlook on our ongoing daily challenges. They tackle problems head-on with wisdom and experience. You'll hear suggestions for better handling interpersonal relationships, useful ideas related to health, technology, body image, family, and a host of other important issues. It's called The Lisa Show, and of course, it's available wherever you get your podcasts. We now return to Constant Wonder.
Kathleen Rooney, you may remember, says the outcome of these spontaneous poems while you wait, these Insta poems or flash poems, whatever you want to call the genre, they can land anywhere on the spectrum from silly to serious. And it was a delightful experience to hear Lydia trust Allison with some of the sweet details of her life. Sometimes these typewriter poets have to be prepared to hold some somber experiences, though. Here's Kathleen again.
I think the heavier topics stay with me. This couple, they were from the UK, they had great accents, and they asked for a poem for her nephew, and her nephew's parents had just been both killed in a sudden car accident, and so she wanted a poem that was like, I love you and you're going to be okay. It's like, I can barely talk about it now without crying. It's just so sad, and it's, you know, I haven't thought about him in a minute, and so I hope he's okay. I hope she's okay. You know, I don't know. Usually I never hear about how it goes when people give each other the poems, but he's hopefully 15 years past that and, you know, doing okay. So like stuff like that sticks with me.
In the same way that Kathleen can't shake some of the experiences she's had, I think there's a whole lot more going on at Allison's market table than a mere diversion or pastime or even craft. Just weigh this depiction from her handing over a freshly typed poem to the recipient.
I cut it out and I place it on a pretty piece of paper and I sign it and I stand up and I read it to them face to face. And it's the most, I could cry actually right now. It's like one of the most beautiful things to just meet a stranger and to reflect their soul back to them after they shared it with me. Like, it's a privilege for me to have that and to do it in this really unique, kind of interesting way that kind of takes people's egos out of the equation. Because it's all just, it's goodwill. Or in Jewish, we say it's a mitzvah. It feels like a mitzvah I'm doing. Like, it's this thing that's building more goodness back and forth. So they're happy, I'm happy. And mostly, I don't know anybody that walked away that was like, eh. But the poems aren't that great, but they speak to somebody's heart.
In Chicago, with Kathleen Rooney and her team of poets, it looks like this. Customers get their names on a list, fill out some information, and the next available poet takes whichever customer is next. But occasionally, they'll make an exception, which happened on Sunday, May 24th, 2026. I recall this was a beautiful day in Utah, where I live. I asked Kathleen about that day in her city and the special connection she made when someone asked her specifically to write a poem about silent movies.
This poem is a great example of a relationship that we've had for a long time in the city, and it's Randolph Street Market, which is this really beautiful indoor-outdoor market run by a woman named Sally Schwartz. And so it's everything you can imagine. It's, you know, vintage clothing, mini donuts, fudge, coffee, furniture, old records. It's just, it's a great vintage market. And so she has been an early supporter. We've been coming there since, I want to say, 2012. And so Sally is a fan. So it was here too in Chicago, a beautiful Sunday. It was Memorial Day weekend, and it was cool enough that you wanted to sit outside. The sun was out, but you weren't getting too hot. And Sally has an area called Sally's Cabana, which is her kind of special seating area. And so that's where she puts us. We'd kind of been there writing, you know, half a day already. And then this requester came up, and she was someone who knew me, but I didn't know her. She had gone to DePaul, which is where I'm a creative writing professor, and she said that she knew about me, she had read my books, she had talked to her friends and heard my classes were great, but it just never worked out with her schedule for her to take me. She had gotten my novel that I wrote about the silent film industry called From Dust to Stardust, but she said that she feels like in a past life, she was a silent movie star. And she said she reads my book every year. You know, it only came out in 2023, so that's not that many rereads, but I was so touched by it.
Still?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll take it. So she said she was really excited and she specifically wanted me to write her poem. So that is when we made like an exception. You know, we don't cherry pick, but we were slow enough that it was possible. I wasn't tied up. I was able to just take her request. So we chatted a bit about silent movies. And of course, Lillian Gish is one of the most prestigious and acclaimed, beloved stars of the silent era. And she was sort of famous for kind of being the Sphinx-like mystery. She has this long, dark, flowing, curly hair and these really, you know, deep eyes. And she often wore these very like floppy hats and this, you know, girlish attire. And she played a lot of damsels in distress or like the lead in La Boheme. And when she was working on a film, people loved her so much that even the tool guys and the sound guys and the light guys were known to cry if she did a death scene. So anyway, I'm a Gish fan. The requester was a Gish fan. And so she had me write this poem, Past Life, Silent Star. So here's what I wrote. When the projector starts, silver stars gallop across the screen. You can hear their hooves. The silence moves the sternest hearts. The wind moves the black and white leaves and birds, long dead now, nest in the eaves of a Gothic mansion. To be the heroine was my utmost pleasure, immeasurable as the depths of the eyes of Gish.
Kathleen said earlier that when someone requests a poem to give to someone else, she rarely gets to find out how that gift was received. But when poems are written on the spot for some special occasion, she often does get feedback on those.
We've written first date poems for people where it's going really well, or we've written poems for people who are like getting ready to be engaged, or like at the Botanic Garden, this happened where this couple had come to the garden and they were doing their proposal there. And we wrote a poem commemorating it. Our poet, Lizzie, wrote it. And then they emailed me after, you know, months later. And we're like, we're now getting married. And Lizzie wrote our engagement poem. And we want Lizzie to come do poems at our wedding. So she did that. And then I and other people have had experiences where we've written poems for people who are becoming parents. And so it's a to our new future baby poem. And then we'll hear from these people again where they'll like send us a picture of the poem on the nursery wall, or even better, they come back with the child. Because again, we've been doing this 15 years and they're like, you don't remember, but this five-year-old is the baby who didn't exist yet that you wrote a poem for. And it's just, it's so cool.
Speaking of parents and children, I want to leave you with one last typewriter poem read here by Kathleen.
This is by Eric Plattner, who's a co-founder, and it's called Girl Juniors, and it's for Dominic, who's the father, for his little daughter, Dominique. Girl Juniors. Because why not? An old block with a chip off it, beaming like moonshine on the lake, knows not of social constructs that restrict the purest expression of love to name the one you share a soul with.
Poet Kathleen Rooney is co-founder of Poems While You Wait, located in Chicago, Illinois. She's also an author of novels and nonfiction and a professor of creative writing at DePaul University. We also heard in this episode from Allison Fragakis, and you can discover more about her work as a poet, songwriter, performer, and writing coach at writingallison.com. I'm Tenery Taylor, and I produced this episode with help from Lydia McElroy, who also appeared in the episode. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating or a positive review. It allows us at Constant Wonder to keep bringing you these uplifting episodes, and we can get them out to more and more people. Speaking of reviews, I want to share some feedback we got from a listener. This was in response to our episode, Fiddling with the Heart, featuring singer Galen Lee. It's from Pastor Philip. What an amazing interview, as expected, with such an amazing person in Galen and an incredible production team led by you. Let us together, regardless of the distance, be in constant wonder as we discover the good that our Creator fashioned in this world. Thanks, Pastor Philip. We appreciate all of our listeners and would love to hear from you. Constant Wonder is a production of BYU Radio.